Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday, it's a huge doubleheader on Fox. First, the Bears take on Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Then in America's Game of the Week, Tom Brady leads the Bucs against Matthew Stafford and the Rams. It all kicks off Sunday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area. Fox Bet Super 6 is giving you one last chance to win $1 million. Enter now and correctly pick the outcomes of six Sunday NFL games for your last shot to win $1 million of Terry Bradshaw's money. Scan the QR code on the screen, download the app, and play for free.
This is the best weekend, the first weekend in the NFL that the betting lines, there's seven games I liked. It's hard. First week, you don't know what you're getting. Second week, I said last week, the lines were weird last week. The lines are great this week. There's like several games that the wise guys and even the marginal wise guys, some of the squares can see. There's a lot of good lines. By the way, we have Mark Schlereth on. He's lost 25 pounds. He looks amazing. Three Super Bowl rings, a multiple-time Pro Bowler. I want to go to him, Fox Sports NFL analyst. So the team that Joy thinks I'm too high on, and I said in the offseason, I love Denver's roster, but I didn't trust Drew Locke because he's just too casual. He plays with no urgency. Teddy Bridgewater, limited, always plays with urgency. There are no random plays. Teddy's got a plan on every play. And I think Vic Fangio made the right call making Teddy be the starter. So you tell me. Raiders started 2-0 last several years. Doesn't mean you're good. Does this 2-0 feel legitimate with Denver?
It does. Now, they've had some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see. Bradley Chubb's going to, I think he had his ankle scoped this morning. He may be out the majority of the season. They lost their starting middle linebacker in Josie Jewell. Ronald Darby went on IR as well. They're starting cornerback. But they've had enough depth, and they've created enough depth on this roster under new general manager George Payton, I think to overcome those injuries. Teddy's been amazing. Teddy brings a calming influence. You know, when you talk to people around the league that study this league, there is not one disparaging word about Teddy Bridgewater. The guy is a consummate professional. He's a great leader. Guys love playing with him. And he does a great job. And I think this is one of the reasons, one of the big reasons that he was so imperative for Denver to get. You've got a young offensive football team with Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy's and KJ Hamler's and Cortland Sutton's of the world. And it was about giving them somebody that understands this game and that can speak to them and actually be a coach to those guys on the football field. So he has been tremendous. One of the things I love about Teddy, he just knows where all five eligibles are at all times. And this roster is good enough to be competitive. With all that said, Colin, when you look at the AFC West with Mahomes, with Herbert, with the way Derek Carr's playing, regardless of how good the roster is, you still have the fourth best quarterback in your own division.
Yeah.
Hard to win divisions that way, but could they sneak into a playoff berth, a playoff spot? Or I shouldn't even say sneak. Could they play their way into a playoff berth? I think they have that opportunity. I think it'll be close at the end of the year. They'll be fighting with three or four teams, but depending on how Pittsburgh finishes and some of the other teams finish, I think they're going to be right there neck and neck trying to get that last wild card spot at the end of the season.
So you're going to be calling the Saints-Patriots Sunday, 1 Eastern on Fox. That means you're diving in right now to Mac Jones and Patriot footage. And I've said this before with Mac. I think the ceiling's low, but I think New England was the perfect place for him. Kind of a run-centric offense, only averaging 3.1 air yards per attempt. Even on a trick play last week, he checked down and threw to the shorter route. It works. Do you see, I think you have to be more dynamic to win the AFC. Do they have a dynamic quality? Or what I'm seeing now and what you're seeing, is this it? Is this kind of what their offense is?
No, I think it'll continue to evolve. But with Mac Jones, you know, we get so enamored with athleticism because it's the easiest thing in the world to see, right? Even if you don't know, like if you don't know the difference between cover three and cover one, or cover one lurk and cover three buzz, or you don't know the difference between what you're watching, right? You can still see the athleticism. You see a guy that can jump high, you see a guy that can run fast. And I tell you, the thing that is more important than athleticism and speed and all that stuff is the speed with which you process information. And that's where Mac Jones is way ahead of the rest of the rookie curve. He processes from the neck up faster than everybody else. He knows through a progression, front side, back side, check down. He knows where everybody is on the football field, and he does it exceptionally well. The other thing is he's got this innate ability, this quality, Colin, when you watch him on film, to be like an expert pitcher. You know, one of the older veteran guys who maybe doesn't have the 100-mile-an-hour fastball anymore, but he changes his speed so well. He has such touch and just deft ability throwing the football. So you'll see him get like a little outbreaking route that's close, and it's just a floater where the guy can actually catch it, almost take his eyes off of it, turn and defend himself. And then all of a sudden he has to throw a layered pass over linebackers in front of safeties, and he puts just enough mustard on it to get it there on time for that receiver to catch it without getting hit, but just enough touch on it to get over the outstretched fingers of the linebacker. And then all of a sudden you see him having to throw a dig or a deep comeback, and he can just let it rip. And he makes these decisions split second. I just have been so impressed with watching the way he plays to the rest of the rookie quarterbacks and the way they played.
So Justin Fields, Andy Dalton's hurt, Justin Fields starts. What, you've played with a couple young quarterbacks. What are you looking to see from, and again, this is not a great offensive line, unlike what Mac Jones inherited. This is not a good old line. They drafted two more guys this year. What are you gonna look for when you see Justin Fields? What's gonna jump out to you, good or bad?
Well, I think the number one thing is exactly how you call the plays, because for a rookie quarterback or any quarterback to have success, it really comes down to calling your offense. And how can you take the majority of the issues that occur, and how can you take those off his plate? How can you create, as a coordinator, Matt Nagy, for instance, how can you create 12 gimme throws? So my big thing is, all right, if we're going to throw it, let's say we're going to try to limit it to 24 attempts, 24 to 28 attempts. Can we get you 12 completions that are just no-brainers using play action, run action, boot keep game, and all that stuff? The biggest thing is to mitigate disaster. So we have to do a really good job of making sure you understand where you're protected, but more importantly, where you're not protected. What are the issues? And to make sure you know those in every situation. And then it really comes down to the rhythm of the offense, the way you're calling the offense. Can we get you in a rhythm? Can we get you 12 to 15 easy completions and get you going in that fashion, and then set up all that play action off of that stuff? So, you know, I'm really going to be looking, Justin Fields is going to make his mistakes, but the bottom line is you have to, as a coaching staff, put your guy in a position to win. The thing is, you know, if you drop back 40 times and Justin Fields fails, I mean, don't put a guy in a position to fail and then act surprised when that guy fails. You're the one that put him in that position. So it really comes down to coaching and the way you set him up for success. And can you get that done, especially early in this game, to get him into a rhythm?
So Jarvis Landry's on the IR for 3 weeks to a month. He's not a widely discussed player, but if you watch Cleveland play, he's not only very valuable and productive, he feels like a little bit of the heart and soul of that offense. Very, very consistent performer. He's gone for about a month here. So Baker's going to have Odell coming in. Any drop-off, anything I should look for, any concern? Because Jarvis is one of those guys we don't talk about on the show much, and every team's got one of these guys. You don't talk about him, guy, and he's wildly valuable in the room, guy. What do you make of him gone for a month?
Yeah, it's going to be really tough because he does, you know, the dirty work routes, right? He's the guy that's running, you know, behind the line of scrimmage in motion, doing disco motions, getting a free release. He's in the flat, you know. He's the guy that's running the shallow crosses. He's the guy that's running in traffic all the time. So you have the receivers that you say, hey, you're the lift the top of coverage guy. You're the guy that we want to take a safety and tie a safety up so we can sneak Jarvis Landry behind you, let him catch it, and then do all his damage after the catch. He's great at that stuff. And, you know, it takes a certain type of receiver that can run across there. You know, you're going to get an elbow from a linebacker. You know, you're going to get hit, shoulder pads. You know, you're going to get squared up. That's the tough thing. and he sets a tone that way. I think Jarvis Landry is one of those few receivers in this league that really are tone setters when it comes to the heartbeat of your football team. They're the actuators. They get guys going, and he's one of those guys doing that dirty work inside, between the, you know, between the hashes, inside the numbers, and all of a sudden that part of your offense is gone. Well, there's a lot of guys that just aren't willing to do that, don't want to do it. You've seen the guys that get the little gator arms, you know, they're like a little Tyrannosaurus Rex running out there, and all of a sudden I can't quite get there. You know, and he's not one of those guys. He's tough as nails. He's a great the bottom line, the best thing I can say about him is he's a football player. He's not a wide receiver. Football player.
There you go. I can take a shot at those, you know, skill guys on the outside. That's just the croissant of the bakery. It's soft. It looks good. It's pretty. But, you know, it's soft. It doesn't flaky, soft. All right, Schlereth, great seeing you.
Likewise, buddy. Take care, man. Have a great week.
Good stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Here's Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, the Steelers are one of many teams that are dealing with injuries this season, and head coach Mike Tomlin said that Ben Roethlisberger is the latest to be added to that list.
Ben has a pec injury of some kind on his left pec that could affect him from a preparation standpoint. Don't have an idea how much as I sit here right now, but we better be ready to be adjustable and deal with that.
I like that, adjustable. We have to be ready to be adjustable. It's a perfect word there.
You love Mike Tomlin. Well,
I do.
He's great. But this is not a great situation for the Steelers, although be it not terribly surprising.
Well, we said it last week. He looked old against Buffalo. Like he in week one, off the best offseason ever, he looked like an old man moving out of the pocket.
That's why I don't know what to make of the offseason, or the preseason, I should say. I don't know what to make of the preseason. Team can look great. Ben look fast. Thin, green.
You know what? Harvest moon. The moon could be sucking the water out of his pectorals, and they're weakened because of his his lack of a diet and regimen.
I snorted. That's really funny. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with the Steelers. I would feel better about this situation if they were able to run the ball, but they're not. So
I mean, not at all.
Yeah.
Can't run the ball.
They have TJ Watts.
It is so, their offense, I'm going to say it's the worst I've seen. It's the worst I've seen. If you took Chase Claypool out, because he's so great. I mean, I'm telling you, they can't run the ball at all.
It's just
2 years.
And I don't know that it's, I can't put it on a rookie. That they can't run the ball.
No, it's not Najee Harris. I mean, so it's just
at least they made the effort to try and solve the situation, but they can't run the ball.
And it doesn't look.
They have 114 rushing yards, the fewest in the NFL, and they're averaging 3.26 yards per carry, which is the third fewest in the NFL. Well, they cannot run the ball. That is you're not going to win games, especially in the AFC North. If you're running the ball like
it's
that.
It's also Tomlin's a defensive guy, so it's a new coordinator. It's not terribly clever. Like, Baltimore can fool you with their play calling. Right. I think Stefanski.
But they also have a dynamic playmaker in Lamar Jackson.
And then I think both Zach Taylor with Cincinnati and Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski's a great schemer. His game plans are very clever. He's a very clever. He has got a little Sean McVay where you're like, if you try to guess what Cleveland's doing, they're really clever. Like, they fool me. I mean, I'll watch their games. I'm like, you can tell a great play caller. You can't figure out, they run screens, and you're like, oh, God, that's a perfect call.
But they also have a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
And a good offensive line. So if you look at the other teams in this division, we obviously know what the Ravens are and what they're capable of and what Lamar Jackson is capable of. Joe Burrow can get those cheap touchdowns over the top of their offensive line isn't great. They still have a dynamic element to their offense. And we know the Browns are maybe one of the best running games in the NFL. So this is very concerning, not to mention all the injuries that I had. I mentioned TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Devin Bush, Joe Hayden. They all have groin injuries.
Last year, once they got beat up on the defensive side and you're relying on the offense, there's nothing
and Ben
there.
You can't throw it 50 times a game.
You can't
have no running game.
Hayden's great. Bush is great. TJ Watt's great. You can't. This is not the kind of offense that can suffer injuries.
No. They played the Bengals on Sunday and they're currently favored by 3.
Oh, it's 3. I thought it was 3.5.
It's 3 on Fox.
Because I like the Bengals at 3.5. Outright win.
Really?
Yep.
So Jimmy Garoppolo knows what it's like to be the quarterback in waiting, but now he's on the other side of it. He was asked on the Rich Eisen show if he has thought about telling the 49ers if he would like to continue his career elsewhere, and he said he might reach out to Aaron Rodgers for advice on his uncertain future.
I don't know. To be completely honest, I haven't thought that far ahead yet. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I'm so, you know, tied up with the season and everything we got going on. If I could repeat what Aaron did last year, I would love to do that. That guy, I mean, MVP speaks for itself. I know Aaron pretty well. We've talked a couple times, you know, on the field, off the field, and, you know, whatever little piece of advice he could give to me, obviously it's worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't listen to Aaron.
I don't know that I wouldn't listen to Aaron, but I don't know what's the goal of the advice. Like, Aaron has been at that organization for 16 years. He's the franchise quarterback in the face of the organization.
I don't think it's even...
You have been injured for most of your career.
Right.
And have just been replaced by Trey Lance, who we know will be the future of the organization. They don't know if Jordan Love is going to... It's not a parallel situation.
Also, I think people really like Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think Green Bay likes Aaron Rodgers. I don't think the organization. I think they're done with him upstairs, totally done with him, but they're kind of trapped. I mean, we all know this. If Jordan Love can play, they'd move Aaron tomorrow. Aaron's a big pain in the butt
for them.
Well,
yeah, but it's okay.
He's not.
So people are a pain. If your talent, deal with it. Like, what are you going to do?
But I think with Garoppolo, I do think they like Jimmy.
No, I think Jimmy is, I think he's very well liked.
And they don't win without him.
They don't win without him. And they're lucky to have him in this situation, having Trey Lance be so raw. But when they took Trey Lance, it meant the end of his time there. It wasn't the same situation with Aaron Rodgers.
I think the Niners would move off Garoppolo, and they would root for him to succeed as long as it wasn't against them.
I think they're going to take care of Jimmy G after the season.
I think the Packers would get rid of Aaron and hope he goes 0-17. I think Garoppolo is well-liked. There's just limitations with him. I think Green Bay will, you know, I'm like, you can't tell me New England was rooting for Tom to win a Super Bowl.
No.
But
no.
I do think
I can't say no one. I like speaking in absolutes. I think actually a lot of Patriots fans were okay with Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl.
And I think Jim Irsay and the Colts wanted to see, they didn't want to see Peyton Manning limp into the sunset. They didn't want him to win Super Bowls necessarily. But I think a lot of people, Peyton had been a good friend to people.
Yeah.
And they were happy. I don't think that's the situation with Aaron. If he crashes
maybe,
and burns.
Maybe not. But again, it's, you know, do it without him then.
I know, I'm not, I don't want to make any of this stuff personal, but Aaron's making it personal, so let's make it personal.
He didn't say anything to me directly.
No, but I'm not sure he was saying it to me, but you can't say all off season, wisdom is silence, and then you're the only one that won't stop talking. I haven't heard from their GM one time in the last month. Aaron won't stop talking.
Well, the Niners face Rodgers and the Packers this Sunday, and the Packers are currently favored by 7, according to Fox.
Over who?
Niners and Packers.
Wait, time out. The line's 7 now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it says 7 here. Sorry.
It's three and a half. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say 7 was
my bad.
Seven.
I was saying, like, that's a pretty big number.
it's 3.5 for a reason. That's the hook. So most people will bet Green Bay because you'll take, if it was 3, I think I'd take San Francisco at 3.5. It's hard.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Texans rookie Davis Mills will start Thursday night against the Panthers in place of an injured Tyrod Taylor.
So great.
Taylor injured his left hamstring and was replaced by Mills in the second half. Cully also said that he thinks Mills will be ready and that he has had a chance to get reps with the first team in practice. Panthers are currently favored by 8, according to Fox Bet.
Okay, so Sam Darnold did not get a single break in his first 3 years in this league. Now he's getting all of them. I mean, think about this.
Well, you need breaks.
So week 1, he gets a rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson, and a rookie coach. Week 2, the Saints were off a devastating win over Green Bay, and they've been displaced. They're not at their homes, right? Week 3, he now gets a backup quarterback. If you work hard in life and you're a good person.
Not just a backup quarterback.
The backup to the backup.
Yeah,
so Sam didn't get a break. He's gotten 3 straight breaks. A displaced team, a rookie coach quarterback, and now the backup to the backup. And this goes to what I say all the time. Good person, work hard, help others. You will get your breaks because Sam's gotten 3 in a row. And by the way, I could say 4th, he ended up with maybe as good a young coach in year two as we have. I mean, Matt Rhule is really sharp. I mean, that staff, he and Joe Brady, I mean, I've watched every snap of their games. They are really, really well coached.
Are you feeling good about their 12-5 prediction?
Well, I said that. I got a little hyperbolic. Yeah, I think they're a 9-8-8-9 team. They're not as good as their record. They're going to go 3-0. They're not a great team. They have a very good pass rush and a lot of weapons.
I mean, it's good for that.
Bad
for them to start this way, though.
Yeah, bad O-line, though.
Beat the teams you're supposed to.
Yes, and if they do, they should go about 9-8. They'll come back down to earth. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Some 0-2, some 2-0, 50% of the league's 1-1. Who am I believing in? Who's deceiving us? Believe it or deceive it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Giants Padres Discover Card Key Matchup matches all the cash back you earned credit card first year automatically, no limit. So we're going to play believer or deceiver. And what I am watching right now with teams, do I believe it or am I being deceived? Because we're listing a lot of the teams off to good starts this year. So we're going to put up some of the good teams. Do I believe what I'm seeing or is it total deception?
The Raiders, believer or deceiver?
Deceiver. Here's the key ingredient. They can't run the football at all. They have the second fewest rush yards in the league and the worst run blocking grade in the league, according to PFF. So it's been fun. The Steelers had no ability to go toe-to-toe offensively. You have to be able to run the football or you become what the Steelers were at the end of last year. The Raiders can't run the football. We know they downgraded their offensive line. It's been fine in pass protection. Poor run-blocking team that will absolutely, in a division with good quarterback play, it will haunt them eventually.
The Broncos.
I'm a believer, and here's why. Two things. They don't make any mistakes with Teddy Bridgewater. None. Their defense is top five against the pass and top five against the run, and they have a real pass rush. They don't have to win by blowout. With Teddy Bridgewater, the fear is we're not going to win in shootouts. You don't have to. We all know Vic Fangio, top five defensive mind. They're going to be in every game this year. They also, Patrick Surtain, maybe the best rookie in the league so far. The corner from Alabama has been great. And they got Kyle Fuller, the Bears' best corner. So they solved a big dilemma. They went from bad to really strong at corner. There'll be no, you're not going to score a lot of points on this team this year. Barring injuries, they're going to be in every game.
The Buccaneers.
Believer, obviously, and here's why. In their last 9 wins, they've scored over 30 points. So that you're getting into historic areas here. So remember, they had a preseason. Tom knows the offense. So the growth that we watched last year, all the roller coaster, the turbulence from last year is out. I don't like their defense so far. That's my concern. But in terms of the offense, they are neck and neck with the Chiefs. They can score anywhere on the field anytime.
The Panthers.
Now I'm going to say believer with my questions about Sam Darnold's ability to stay healthy and make mistakes. If you watch Carolina play, their pass rush is insane. They're number one in the NFL in sack differential. They have got 7 different players in their front 7 that were first or second round players. It's not a myth. They are like the Steelers. They are devouring people up front. What does that mean? Good field position. You don't have to have 13 play drives. Christian McCaffrey is the best pass catching running back. You don't have to ask Darnold to throw the ball 25 yards. He's throwing it with a lead. He's throwing it to the best. He has a running game. So Darnold now doesn't have to get in shootouts week to week like Denver. You're not asking Bridgewater and Darnold to win shootouts. So watch their defense Thursday night, tomorrow night. It's got a Pittsburgh feel to it. Like it is a relentless pass rush.
The 49ers.
A believer. Let's be honest. They're 2-0 on the road. despite cluster injuries at running back. So you're not, you know, on the road, good teams hope they go 500. They're 2-0, and Philadelphia does appear to be pretty decent. Debo Samuel, who we spotted this last year early, he's a real star. Right now, he leads the NFL in receiving yards. So you may have your misgivings about Garoppolo. George Kittle is a rock star. Debo Samuel, rock star. So when they get those running backs healthy, watch out. It's a Super Bowl roster.
The LA Rams.
Believer. Once again, they won't be as good running the football as perhaps we thought before Cam Akers, but Matt Stafford's got a lot of time to throw. Sacked one time, passer rating over 125. So a comfortable Matt Stafford behind really clever scheming by Sean McVay. Listen, they're playing Tampa this week, and it's a 1.5-point spread. So what is Vegas telling you? This is an elite team, and it's nobody's getting to Stafford. He's got a lot of time to throw.
How about those Arizona Cardinals, believer or deceiver?
Well, I'm a believer because they do two things well. First of all, they're wildly explosive on offense, meaning they're going to play with the lead a lot. And secondly, they have a great pass rush. And yeah. So they're you know, Steve Keim was smart. Like, he said, we're going to score. What do we need? Remember when they got J.J. Watt and we're like, why? You got Chandler Jones. Because he felt like when you lead, when you have a Peyton Manning, when you're scoring 30. By the way, Tampa Bay, that's what they have. Tommy's going to score a lot. What do? They go out and draft another defensive lineman, another pass rusher. So I'm a believer.
The Bills.
Total believer. Listen, they had a punt blocked against the Steelers. They totally outplayed them. Here's why I like Buffalo to end up in the AFC Championship. The knock on them, and it's a fair one last year, the last 2 years, they couldn't generate a pass rush. So they have the last two drafts, they've gone out and gone looking for pass rushers. Right now, the number two scoring defense, and they are generating now. You saw it against Miami early. They are generating a pass rush, and it has been their key hole for the last 2 years.
The New England Patriots.
A little bit of a deceiver here. I don't think they have much over-the-top ability offensively. Mac Jones is averaging 3.1 air yards per pass. This is a lot of dink and dunk stuff. And again, in the AFC, with Baltimore, with Cleveland, with Kansas City, with Buffalo, even with the Raiders, the Chargers, you have a lot of high-end offenses. You're not going to stop these teams. You're not going to stop. I think their offense is really, really limited downfield.
The Packers.
Little bit of a deceiver. They have no pass rush, Joy. One sack through two games, fewest in the league. By the way, 7 touchdown passes allowed. That's against Jameis, Winston, and Goff. You're not winning multiple playoff games with no pass rush.
Ravens.
Believer. Can beat you multiple ways. Ravens have faced the top two passing offenses in the NFL, and they've held their own. Beat one, should have beaten the other.
Browns.
Believer. They've got a formula. Their formula is playing with a lead, but Baker's completing 81% of his throws. I think this team is a little more like Baltimore than people want to admit. They're better with a lead than trailing, because if they're trailing, then Baker has to throw. And when people know Baker has to throw, he's not the same quarterback. But they're a dropped punt away from being 2-0. So let's not overreact to a 1-1 record. They will win and should win big. FahertyBrand.com. I want you to go to FahertyBrand.com/herd. 20% off. Great fall clothes. See you tomorrow. It's the Herd.